Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're looking into, well, a really fascinating figure from Greek mythology. Nyx, the primordial goddess of night.
That's right.
Now, you think of Zeus, right? King of the gods, thunderbolt, rules Olympus. Seems like ultimate power.
The standard image, definitely.
But what if I told you even he, you know, at the height of his fury, actually hesitated before Nyx? Makes you wonder about ultimate power.
It absolutely does. And that's kind of the core of what we're exploring. Zeus's power was immense, no doubt. But ultimate in Greek myth, it's layered.
Exactly. So we've been digging into the sources, Hesiod's Theogony, Homer's Iliad, looking at those interesting Orphic traditions, too, plus what modern scholars say.
Trying to piece together the puzzle.
Yeah, to unpack Nyx, her mysterious origins, her really powerful kids, and crucially, why she commanded so much respect, even from Zeus.
Our mission really is to get why this seemingly shadowy figure holds such a fundamental cosmic weight.
Okay, so to really get Nyx's power, we need to go way back, right to the beginning, because her origin, it sets her apart immediately.
Absolutely. She wasn't just in charge of the night.
You know? No, she was the night, like the fabric of it.
That's a great way to put it. Hesiod, in the Theogony, calls her one of the Protogenoi, the firstborn gods.
Like the universe's source code, almost.
Kind of, yeah. Before the operating system Zeus ran later. From chaos, this formless void came Erebus, primordial darkness, gloom, and then Nyx, night itself.
So she's not just a character in the story. She's a fundamental force, a law of the universe almost, like gravity, but night.
Essential. And her identity is fascinating. It's absence of light, sure, but sometimes seen as what existed before creation even started. So ancient.
Wow. And from this, like, super deep darkness, something amazing happens, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Nyx gets together with her brother, Erebus, darkness and night.
And their children are.
Aether, the bright upper sky, radiance and Hemera, day itself.
That's wild. Light born directly from the deepest darkness. It's such a paradox.
It really is. Night and day aren't enemies here. They're siblings. Part of this eternal cycle they literally gave birth to.
That dualism, light from dark, seems key to understanding her.
It's a recurring theme. And if you look at the Orphic tradition, this sort of mystical side of Greek belief, her role gets even more fundamental.
How so?
Well, sometimes the Orphic saw her as the very first entity, the absolute beginning from which everything else sprang.
Whoa. Even before chaos.
In some versions, yeah. Or emerging alongside it in a primary role. There's this really cool bit in Aristophanes' Playbirds, which draws on Orphic ideas.
Yeah.
He describes black-winged Nyx laying a wind egg, basically an egg conceived without a male partner. Primordial.
Remember in this egg.
Comes Eros.
Yeah.
Not the later cute Cupid Eros, but the primordial god of creative force, love. And he then shapes the earth.
So in that telling, she's literally the ultimate progenitor, the source of creation itself. That changes how you see the whole Olympian setup later on.
It definitely adds layers to her significance.
Okay, so her origin is incredibly profound. But her children, wow, that's where you really see her influence spread across the cosmos. Right,
right, absolutely. Her brood is vast and significant. This is where her power really manifests. She populates the universe with these abstract concepts, life, death, fate.
And many of them she birthed herself. Without Erebus?
Often, yes. Or later sources might link them to Erebus, but Hesiod lists many as hers alone. And these aren't gods of, like, the sea or the harvest.
No, these are deeper, more fundamental.
Exactly. Personifications of forces that shape everything, for mortals and gods alike. A whole pantheon of abstract realities.
So let's talk about some of the big ones, the inescapable forces. You've got the twins, right? Hypnos and Thanatos.
That's right. Hypnos, sleep. His name even gives us Hypnosis, and his twin, Thanatos. But it's important to specify which Thanatos this is.
Meaning?
He represents natural, peaceful death, like dying of old age in your sleep.
Yes.
It's distinct from his sisters, the Cures.
Oh, right. Yeah. His other daughters. They were different.
Very. The Cures were spirits of violent death, cruel death, the kind you find on a battlefield or in a plague. So Nyx births both the gentle end and the brutal one.
That covers a lot of ground already. Sleep and death. What else?
Well, there's Moros, doom, destiny, that inescapable feeling that something is preordained.
Debbie stuff.
Definitely. And then her thousand sons, the Onoroi, the dreams.
A thousand.
Figuratively, yeah. Emerging from the underworld, bringing visions, prophecies, or nightmares. You might know names like Morpheus, shaping dreams, Phobator, scary dreams, Phantasos, inanimate objects and dreams.
All born from night. Makes sense.
And maybe the most powerful, most respected of all her children, the Moirai, the Fates.
Clotho, Lachesis, Atropos,
mm-hmm.
the spinner, the measurer, the cutter.
The ones who determine the lifespan of every single being, mortal or immortal. And here's the crucial part.
Even Zeus.
Even Zeus did not dare challenge their decisions. Think about that. The king of the gods is subject to the decrees of Nyx's daughters.
That says everything, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It puts Nyx's influence above even Olympus in some fundamental way.
It points to this deeper cosmic order. Destiny, born of night, rules all.
It's mind-blowing. But her kids weren't all doom and gloom, right? You mentioned Nemesis.
Right, Nemesis. Divine retribution. Mm. Punishing hubris, ensuring balance. So, a kind of justice. But then also a pate deceit. And Eris strife discord.
Eris.
Yeah.
The one with the golden apple who started the Trojan War.
The very same. Another child of night causing chaos. But then, there's a surprise.
What's that?
Philotes.
Philotes, what's that?
Friendship, affection, even sexual pleasure or tenderness.
Wait, the goddess who birthed doom and death and strife also birthed friendship.
Exactly. It's this incredible counterpoint. It shows Nyx isn't just about darkness in the negative sense. She embodies the full spectrum of existence, the good, the bad, the necessary.
That really deepens her character. She's not just evil knight.
Not at all. And there are others, too, briefly. Jairus, old age, Momus, blame and scorn. He was actually kicked out of Olympus by Zeus for being too critical.
Mm. Even gods have limits.
Apparently. Then Oises, misery. The Hesperides, the nymphs of the evening who guarded those golden apples, logically linked to night. The Erinnes, the Furies, embodying vengeance.
And sometimes Hecate, the goddess of magic.
Some Orphic accounts, yes, they link Hecate, goddess of magic, witchcraft, crossroads, to Nyx as well. It's a huge, influential family.
Okay, so her lineage is just incredible. All these fundamental forces. And this brings us to that story, the one in Homer's Iliad. The one that really shows why even Zeus held back.
Yes. Book 14, it's pivotal. Hera, Zeus's wife, is angry with Heracles, Zeus's son, by a mortal woman.
Always drama on Olympus.
Always. So Hera goes to Hypnos, sleep, Nyx's son, and she asks him to put Zeus to sleep so she can cause trouble for Heracles while Zeus is out of commission.
And Hypnos is like, are you crazy?
Pretty much. He's terrified. He reminds Hera, I did this once before for you. When Zeus woke up, his anger was, well, cataclysmic is how Homer puts it. He nearly threw me into the sea.
So he knows the risk. What does he do?
He knows he's doomed if Zeus catches him, so he flees. But where does he go?
Not Olympus, clearly. The underworld.
Nope. He flies straight to his mother, to Nyx. Seeking refuge in her domain, the deepest, oldest part of the cosmos.
Smart move.
The smartest. And this is the key moment. Zeus, absolutely furious, comes after Hypnos. He reaches the edge of Nyx's realm, ready to, you know, unleash hell.
Oh, yeah.
And he stops. Homer says it plainly. Zeus stopped because he was in awe of doing anything to swift Night's displeasure.
In awe. Not just afraid, but awe. That's huge. The king of the gods, halted by reverence for Night herself.
It completely reframes the power dynamic, doesn't it?
It really does. So why? Why does Zeus stop? It wasn't because Nyx could beat him in a fight, right? That's not how it worked.
Exactly. It's not like a superhero battle. Mythology isn't about power levels in that modern fantasy sense. Gods embody concepts.
So it wasn't about strength.
No. It was about her authority, her fundamental nature. Nyx is vastly older than Zeus. She represents a primordial law of the universe.
To defy her would be like trying to cancel nighttime.
Precisely. It would be an offense against the cosmic order itself. Something that could destabilize everything, even his own rule. It's unthinkable.
And she's the mother of all those powerful concepts we just talked about.
Think about it. She's the mother of sleep, death, and crucially, the Fates, whom Zeus already has to obey.
Right. Offending their mother. That would have massive, uncontrollable ripple effects. He'd be inviting doom, strife, maybe even vengeance upon himself.
It's too risky. It threatens the foundations of his power. Plus, some Orphic texts even say Nyx held the scepter of cosmic rule before the Titans, before Zeus. That ancient authority commands respect.
So it's this deep, ancient, foundational power, not just thunderbolts. Wow, okay, so her power is immense, but what did she, like, look like? How did the Greeks picture Night itself?
The imagery is quite evocative. Often she's shown driving a chariot pulled by dark, maybe black horses. Makes sense.
Cloaked in black, I assume.
Usually, yes. Cloaked in black, maybe with a veil that's dark or even starry. Sometimes she's depicted with wings, often youthful in appearance, but with this grave, serious demeanor. She's ancient, but ever present.
That fits. Primordial, but timeless. And wasn't there some art showing her with Hypnos and Thanatos?
Yes, some early art, like on the famous chest of Cypselus, described by Pausanias. It reportedly showed Nyx holding her twin sons, Sleep and Death, as infants.
Wow, how were they shown?
Hypnos, Sleep, was often depicted as white draped, sometimes holding a poppy symbolizing slumber. Thanatos, Death, was black covered, maybe holding an inverted torch symbolizing life extinguished. Seeing her nurse them really drives home her role as the mother of these ultimate transitions.
And she's obviously connected to nocturnal creatures, right? Owls, bats.
Absolutely. Owls are a great example, linked to wisdom, clarity, foresight, things you gain in quiet contemplation, perhaps at night, but also sometimes seen as omens of doom, that duality again.
Like Nyx herself. What about bats?
Bats represent that ambiguity, maybe unpredictable inspiration that strikes in darkness. They operate in that liminal space between worlds, like twilight.
And black cats.
Yeah.
Often linked to witchcraft and mystery.
And by extension, to Hecate, who, as we said, is sometimes Nyx's daughter, they all symbolize that hidden knowledge, the mystery, the magic associated with the night. They're not just symbols, they kind of embody the unseen aspects of reality Nyx represents, reminders of life's complexity.
Okay, so where did Night itself live?
According to Hesiod, her home is down in Tartarus, the deepest, darkest pit of the underworld.
Gloomy place. Does she live alone?
No, interestingly, she shares her home there with her daughter Hemera Day.
Wait, Night and Day live together in Tartarus.
It sounds odd, but Hesiod describes this incredible cosmic dance. They're never actually home at the same time.
Ah, like a shift change.
Exactly. He describes this great bronze threshold. As one leaves the house to traverse the earth, the other returns. They pass each other, but never stay together inside. It's this beautiful image of the eternal cycle of day and night, maintained by mother and daughter from the depths of the cosmos.
That's a really powerful picture of cosmic balance. Constant exchange. Given how fundamental she is, did people, like, worship her? Build temples?
That's the interesting thing. There were very few dedicated temples specifically to Nyx, which sort of fits her mysterious background nature. You don't really build a house for the night sky itself, do you?
True, is everywhere and nowhere.
Yeah.
But was she acknowledged at all?
Oh, definitely. Her influence was felt. Pausanias mentions an oracle of the night in the city of Megara. That's significant. And there was apparently a statue of her in the famous Temple of Artemis at Ephesus.
So she was present, just maybe not in the same way as, say, Athena or Apollo.
Right. Her worship seems to have been more about rituals than big public temples. People would sacrifice black animals to her, like roosters, bulls, or sheep, and they'd do it at night, naturally.
Makes sense.
And the Orphics, we mentioned them before, they especially revered her. They called her the giver of all life, really emphasizing that primordial, creative aspect we talked about.
So her influence was woven into other practices too.
Yes, you see it in cult titles for other gods, like Dionysus, sometimes being called Dionysus Nyctelios, meaning the nocturnal Dionysus, or even Aphrodite having a title, Philopenix, lover of the whole night.
Wow, even the goddess of love had a night-loving side.
It shows her power was recognized, woven into the spiritual fabric, even without grand monuments everywhere. It was deep, fundamental.
So wrapping this deep dive up, it's just undeniable that Nyx has this incredibly unique place in Greek myth.
Absolutely. She's not just another goddess on the family tree.
No, she's a primordial force, night itself personified. And her power isn't about throwing lightning bolts. It's quieter, deeper.
It's inherent in her existence. And in the inescapable concepts, she gave birth to sleep, death, fate, dreams, even things like friendship and strife.
She really embodies the unknown, doesn't she? Mystery, the subconscious, maybe. And that balance, the duality. Night isn't just evil or scary, it's necessary, both creative and destructive.
That's a perfect summary. The night is neither good nor evil, perhaps, but encompasses both.
And it's amazing how her name still echoes today, isn't it?
It really is. You've got Nyx, one of Pluto's moons, fittingly named for the goddess of darkness, orbiting a dwarf planet in the outer solar system. There's Nyx Mons, a mountain on Venus.
And even that makeup brand, NYX Professional Makeup, borrowing her name for beauty associated with, well, night out looks, maybe? It shows she still resonates somehow.
Across culture, across time, from ancient cosmology to modern branding.
You know, the ancient Greeks seemed to understand something profound, that real understanding, real insight, sometimes means you have to step into the shadows. You have to be willing to look at what isn't immediately obvious.
That life isn't just black and white, it's this whole spectrum.
Exactly. So maybe the next time you find yourself looking up at the night sky, don't just think about the absence of the sun.
Think about Nyx.
Yeah. Think about that profound ancient power she represents. A reminder that sometimes the biggest forces, the most fundamental truths, operate in the quietest, darkest places. Inviting you, maybe, to find your own insights in the unknown.